Hi there, and welcome to the One Pres Pod, a podcast for First Presbyterian Church in Fort Smith. On this podcast, we talk about all things related to faith and the life of followers of Jesus. Join us. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the One Pres Pod. It's me, Phil Blackburn.
And me, Stephen Martin.
Yes, Stephen, we're back together for another episode of You're Using It Wrong.
Finally.
Here we are after so long. Mm-hmm. But what are we using wrong this month, Stephen?
Phil, I am so glad you asked. This is going to be a pot stirrer, so to speak. Because there are so many churches that split over this topic, I want you to be ready. Yeah. So go ahead and ready your mind.
I'm ready.
Okay.
If we can, first off, let me say,
okay,
if we can come up with a topic that doesn't take time to simmer, but really instantly divides.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah,
that's what I want.
Okay. Well,
you know,
let me tell you, this one is going to do it. Mm-hmm. I need you to tell me, what is the correct translation, the correct Bible translation? The reason that this one rose to the top of my list of things that are being used wrong,
mm-hmm,
is because I passed a vehicle today, or I was behind a vehicle, mm-hmm, I should say, that had a King James Version sticker on their vehicle, and I chuckled a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I guess spoiler, you know where I kind of lay on that, but...
So, a story to start related
please
to that. One of my professors in seminary, Cindy Rigby, she's the wife of Bill Greenway, who did our special class, if anybody took that this past year. So Cindy grew up in a very conservative household, and she went to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And in seminary, she learned Greek and she learned Hebrew.
Yeah.
And she came home and she told her grandmother what she had learned about biblical interpretation and exegesis.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandma freaked out because her grandma didn't know that there was anything behind the King James Version.
Oh.
She thought that was literally the version of Scripture that was delivered from God into the hands of people. So
she was upset?
She
blew her mind?
Cindy didn't tell us any more beyond that.
Okay.
But you can imagine if you had never been told about Hebrew or Greek or any of that stuff.
Right.
And you had grown up with this singular translation,
mm-hmm,
which has been around, I think, since 1609.
Yeah, 1611.
It's right there.
Or somewhere, yeah.
Early 17th century.
Exactly.
Like, let's put it this way, Shakespeare worked on it.
Exactly, yes. There is a Shakespeare Easter egg.
That's right, there's a little one, yeah. And so that gets to your, and I don't know, I've never met a Presbyterian, because Cindy was not Presbyterian. I've never met a Presbyterian who thought that.
Right.
But I don't know how many people, because I've seen that before, like the King James Version is the only true,
mm-hmm,
version. And so, people seem to be, mm-hmm, committed to that idea a little bit, or that there's versions that are wrong and versions that are right.
Right. Well, and I think you brought up a really good point with that story, because it really comes back to me. It comes back to, we hold on to what we were brought up,
mm-hmm,
hearing, what, mm-hmm, we were brought up believing, the book, the translation that we read. You know, mm-hmm, it really goes back to what was I raised,
mm-hmm,
in. I was raised with the King James Version.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever I started reading a different translation, honestly, it was weird. It was odd because I was so used to that translation. Mm-hmm. So whenever, luckily too, it helped out in, mm-hmm, high school whenever I had to read Shakespeare. But do you think that goes into people's translation choices more than their worry that this translation might not be correct? It's really just, mm-hmm, what is comfortable.
Yes, it is what is. First of all, almost no one, mm-hmm, in the world is qualified to look at a Bible and say which translation is appropriate.
Yeah,
right. I had Greek and Hebrew. my Greek and Hebrew is not near sophisticated enough to be able to say, you know what, I think they messed up the translation here. Oh. I can't do that.
I've been telling people wrong.
I know. Just keep lying.
Okay.
It's an important part of my ministry is to build an aura that is not at all rooted in fact.
That's going to come up in every
one of
episode
these.
Now. Yes. There's a new Phil fact.
A new Phil fact that we can just lie about something I can do.
Yeah.
The translation, it is a lot about comfort. Let me give you an example of how people can choose. Mm-hmm. So the Bible we use is the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version.
Yep.
One of the editorial decisions that the translation committee made there is when Jesus says, brothers, I say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the Greek says.
Yeah.
Brothers is the only word. They add brothers and sisters.
Okay.
They do that because in the context of the day, that's what he meant. He was not just talking specifically to men. And they only do it in certain points. Like if he's talking literally about two brothers like James and John, or if he's talking about his brothers, they don't mess with that. But when he's talking and addressing a crowd and says, brothers, I say this to you, they put brothers and sisters.
Right.
Well, other people find that off-putting because that's not literally what the Greek says. So you have to kind of... with stuff like that, what's more important to you as a reader of Scripture? How do you want it conveyed?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's all sorts of passages where there's no way to capture what the Greek literally says. It's not possible. And then the Hebrew, if you look at the notes down, if you ever are reading the Old Testament, you look down below and your Bible has notes. Once every 2 to 3 pages, there will be a little note that says, meaning of Hebrew uncertain.
Oh.
Right? So don't build your whole theology around those passages because nobody really knows what that means.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Or it could, some Hebrew words are the same word for two completely different things. Like, let's say, this isn't it, but like, say, like this sword and horse, right? Well, context can tell you if you're talking about a sword or a horse.
Right.
But
he rode his sword.
Right.
Probably not it.
Right. But what if it was, his sword fell.
Right.
Could have been his horse.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been his sword. How do you know?
Right.
Meaning of Hebrew? Uncertain.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, like, it's kind of understanding. I think there's an introduction to most translations. So you have the ability to understand some of the choices that the translators have made.
Right.
And you kind of can decide which translation suits you.
Okay.
But there's all sorts of editorial choices that are made. Here's another one.
Mm.
You've read in the Bible the phrase strong drink, right?
Yeah.
Strong drink.
Oh, yeah. It was just really hearty grape juice.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Really hearty. You know what it was?
What?
Beer.
Oh, my.
Archaeological evidence and contemporary textual evidence tells us that when the word strong drink is rendered in Greek, it was certainly beer.
Wow.
You will not find a translation that exists
that says
that has
beer
written beer. Not one.
Not even the message
that I know of. Not even the message. So like that's a choice because of how that
so
could
polarizing.
Be used,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
like to justify things. Like anyway, so they've no translation committee has, you could say, had the courage to say, I'm going with beer.
Right.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a million different things that I think are fascinating about the Bible when you pick it up.
Right.
But really and truly, it's the translation. If you vibe with the King James Version, I don't think there's enough different in there where it's like you're missing the main point.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I mean, that to me is like what it always gets back to.
Right.
Like, is there a version that cuts out the resurrection?
Mm-hmm.
If not, then we're talking semantics. Right?
Well, and the point that I was always told by people, I used to work at a bookstore, and so anytime we were selling a Bible, one of the points that I heard from people who were 1611 Kings James only people was that the other versions somehow, I can't quote specifically, but they take away the blood.
Oh yeah,
in the newer translations. Is there any? And the reason I bring this up is, I mean, the other side of it is a concern of is their importance being taken away by newer translations, or are the words, you know, chosen eloquently enough that it really still makes sense?
I mean, I think the key stuff is going to make sense. Like, mm-hmm. here, there's choices. Like, you're choosing how to translate something. You know, when you speak a sentence
right.
in English, your native language, you're still making word choices, right?
Yes.
Like, if you're talking to Becca about something, you're going to make choices in that sentence. You're going to choose this word and not that word and whatnot. Hopefully,
right.
regardless of the word, you're communicating your idea.
Yes.
And so the core idea mm-hmm. gets across, whether you say, I would like a glass of milk or I would like a bottle of milk.
Oh.
One would be very different.
Yeah.
But are you going to end up with milk? Hopefully.
Right.
You know?
Okay, that's a good
point. Right? Yeah. So when translation, every translation committee has a theological foundation, I think, is people might hear, again, okay, here's a choice. I'm not going to say agenda. I'm going to say foundation. Theological foundation
right.
that they're working from.
Mm-hmm.
That theological foundation is going to inform their translation choices.
Yeah.
Example.
Mm-hmm.
Nicodemus and John.
Oh.
Right? So you have to be born again from above, right? Jesus tells Nicodemus, you have to be born again.
Right.
Right? So that word born has two meaning. It's like the sword horse thing.
Okay.
So it's either born again or it's born from above, right?
Interesting.
Either one is an appropriate translation.
Right.
Some Bibles say born again. Are you a born again Christian? You've
yeah.
heard this.
Yeah.
It's based on that.
Oh.
It's based on a Greek word that's ambiguous. You could just as easily say, are you a born from above Christian?
Wow, that's more of a mouthful.
It is, but
yeah.
right? But it's a choice,
yeah.
right? So this notion of being born again in the Greek, in that passage,
right.
is ambiguous. And translation committees make choices. The NRSV says born from above.
Mm-hmm.
The New International Version, I think, says born again.
Interesting.
And it reflects a certain theological heritage and foundation.
Right.
So is one wrong? I think what Jesus is communicating, if you spend a moment with the text,
yeah.
like if you're engaged with it, some sort of rebirth happens to us
mm-hmm.
in our faith. We mark that as baptism. Like, are you missing the point if you say from above or born again?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we could debate that, but like,
I think what I'm hearing is the Bible had a very good at one point, now not so much a marketing issue.
Yeah.
Like maybe mm-hmm. yeah, maybe we need to get a council back together to get some better marketing on these choices.
It would be nice if people knew what they were saying. This is where my theological foundations come in.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice for me if people actually knew what they were saying when they said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it.
Yeah.
Like those three sentences are loaded.
Yeah.
Because when somebody says, well, the Bible says da-da-da, mm-hmm. I always think to myself, really? Great. Well, tell me more
right.
about what the Bible says, O wise one. that then gets you to, I believe it, that yeah. settles it. Mm-hmm. So I'm always like, and I don't say that, of
right.
course, but I think it, Stephen. I sit there and think, oh, no. yes, tell me more.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yes, tell me more about what the Bible says.
Now I know exactly what you think when I ask you that question.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like when I say like, and so that's what's running kind of on background for me when
yeah.
people ask me a question, what's the Bible say? It's like, well, I mean, what are we talking about here? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Like I can speak thematically, I can speak theologically, but if you want to start drilling down to
mm-hmm.
the really fine points of what the Bible says, that's a lot of work. And it's years and years of scholarship.
That's fair.
Or it's just reading other people's scholarship, which you yourself have already curated
mm-hmm.
based on your theological foundations. Right.
right. Yeah.
So.
Interesting. So, well, and one thing that I thought was interesting as I was getting older, you know, I remember finding these things in high school, but the mistranslations,
mm-hmm.
like at, I think, Eureka Springs,
mm-hmm.
they have the Murder Bible, if that's
oh.
the same place.
Uh-huh.
It might be somewhere else, but I know there's a couple different ones. So for those that don't know, the Murder Bible was a misprint where in the Ten Commandments, it would normally say, thou shalt not murder. It just says, thou shalt murder. They left out the not. And so it's called the Murder Bible. Mm-hmm. So for you, is there any other, like that was the most fun mm-hmm. one I'd heard of. Mm-hmm. Is there any other, before we go, interesting yeah. translations or mistranslations
that you've heard of? Yes, one of my favorite mistranslations.
His eyes, yes. y'all. His eyes just lit up.
Because really. This is gold,
yeah.
I think. If you go to Paris,
okay,
there is a there's a chapel there. The name is escaping me. It's right near Notre Dame.
Yes. And just down the road.
Just down the road from Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They have the entire Bible in stained glass from like the 17th century.
Wow.
Really old and mm-hmm. gorgeous. The whole thing. Wow. And do you know how you identify Moses in the stained glass?
I remember you telling me this, but I can't remember.
Like, he has horns.
Horns!
There's a dude up there with horns sticking out of his head. Why does he have horns?
I don't remember.
It's a mistranslation of the Hebrew manuscript where they thought Moses had horns. And so the entire chapel is marked, the entire Old Testament there, every passage with Moses that's put into stained glass is this guy with horns. And so you recognize people were born, lived, and died thinking Moses had horns. But here, back to our original point.
Yeah.
Did it change the overall message?
Huh?
Did they somehow then miss the point of script? No, they got it. There's Jesus. Yeah, I mean,
wow.
It's hilarious. I can't believe I can't think of the name of that stinking chapel. But anyway, yes. I mean, there's all sorts of, and it's entirely possible mm-hmm. because archaeology continues to happen.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
We continue to find interesting things. Mm-hmm. The Dead Sea Scrolls were found 80 years ago and completely changed the translation of Isaiah.
Something else that was found a year or two ago, too.
It's always something. Little fragments. Yep. And also, contemporary documents mm-hmm. help with translation, right? So then you get a different context. So there's stuff now that we may be mistranslating that,
right.
I mean, it could be in 100 years, everybody translates strong drink as beer.
Right.
For example, and then all of a sudden that just slightly shifts those passages in understanding and engagement. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's definitely things in there that we're mistranslating. One, and is idioms. It's impossible for us to get to, there's a big debate over when Jesus says it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to
is
get into heaven.
Is it literally a needle?
Right. Is it a place? Right. Mm-hmm. There was a place called the needle.
Yeah.
And camels
had to get down on their knees to crawl. Like, yes. Yeah, kind of crawl through it.
Yes. So, if I say all the time, like, well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Right. If you didn't know that idiom and you were reading my words later with for whatever weird reason and mm-hmm. was and took them literally, you'd be like, well, let's look at the map and let's see. I bet he was talking about the 540 bridge over the Arkansas River based on the context of where he was when he said this.
Oh, yes.
You know, and then it's like, so that's another form of mistranslation where it's like an idiom, a joke, irony. Do we think they didn't use irony? No, because we have contemporary performing arts texts from the era, certainly of the New Testament, where we know irony was employed.
Yeah.
Cuss words. Now, the message do that. The
does
message
it?
Has cuss words in it, yes.
Wow.
I
can break that back
down. Get it back out. It's all of a sudden more exciting. So anyway, there's all sorts of stuff in there. And the thing I would just say to everybody is like, why bother reading the Bible? It doesn't change it. I mean, you know, there's nothing that if Easter's Easter.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key point of the whole deal.
Right.
So, no translation issue is gonna mess with that.
Nice. So, I think we answered. I mean, the question: what's the best translation? And your answer was it's just preference.
Yeah. If you find one that you vibe with.
Yeah.
You know.
I saw an ad. Mm-hmm. On, I guess it was probably Facebook or something, but it was a new way of reading the Bible, mm-hmm. or an audiobook version, and with all the AI stuff going out, mm-hmm. you can have Snoop Dogg read
yes.
your Bible to
perfect.
You, So, I mean, really,
get the Snoop Dogg version.
The sky is unlimited for how you want to ingest biblical scriptures.
This is kind of interesting to put a coat on the whole conversation. I had a friend who had memorized the entire Gospel of Mark and would recite it.
At parties?
It wasn't. It was not the full party trick. She would give a little bit. But she did it at church when we worked together, and took about 70 minutes.
Wow.
You know, it was written to be an oral text.
Yeah.
You know, you were supposed to hear it. Mm-hmm. And hearing it without reading it changes the whole, your whole engagement with it. So the audiobook, my point being, if you get a good reading of the audiobook, it's going to change your interpretation.
Yeah.
Because also the person reading it is going to be doing theology in real time. Words they emphasize, if they decide to make a phrase a joke, or if they decide to... you know, deliver it seriously.
Oh yeah.
You know, these things are going to change your interpretation. So it's like, there's all sorts of different texts available to us. And some of them are written and some of them are spoken, but the Bible, most people over the course of history encountered it orally.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad we don't have to anymore.
That's right. Unless you really want Snoop Dogg.
Right.
Wouldn't it be great if they got Snoop Dogg and Martha Stewart to read, to do
their... Oh, my gosh.
That'd be so good.
That'd be amazing.
So, all right. What else we got, Stephen? Is that it for this month?
No.
Okay.
I think we've got another episode coming up soon.
All right.
Do you want to sneak peek?
Yeah, sneak peek that one.
Okay. We're talking about souls.
Oh.
Yes.
Very good. We should do it at Halloween.
Yeah.
But we'll do it now anyway.
For real.
All right. Hey, good talk, everybody.
Yes.
Make sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you find it. And we'll talk to you next time.
All right. We'll see you.
Peace.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the One Prez Pod. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast wherever you found it. And go to onepres.org for more information about First Presbyterian Church. Until next time, peace.